Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
Oh, there are people never receiving anything from God at all. Oh, they are shaken in their belief. When they don't see results, they quickly fall. But don't you waver, you keep on living in the way God wants you to. Don't get discouraged, just keep on giving. Soon it will come back to you. You've got to keep casting your bread upon the water.
He's not in the house with us today, but we're going to carry on, and maybe next week he can join us as we continue to talk about positive affirmation. Well, this week I'm going to continue in that same vein, and I want to talk a little bit about effectual prayer. Let's start by looking at James 5 and 16 in the Amplified. It says, "Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." Notice that last phrase, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. When you think about prayer, do you consider that it's a fellowship with God? It's a time of fellowshipping with the Father. It's a vital link to the God who is more than enough. We know Him as our El Shaddai. And we see in 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are upon His righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, and His ears are attentive to their prayer." And we're told in Jeremiah 1:12, again in the Amplified, "For I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." So don't let prayer become just some kind of ritual or form without power. But let it be effective, accurately based on God's word, so that it will bring results in your life. Because as we just read in Jeremiah 1:12, God watches over His word to perform it. I believe the pronunciation is perform it. Anyway, so in saying that, we realize that prayer that brings results must be based on God's word. Listen to the description of God's word in Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God speaks, is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." And we know that according to Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. We must have faith because faith is what pleases God. Think about it this way. When we hold His word up to Him in prayer, our Heavenly Father sees Himself in His word. What are we doing? We are putting Him, God, in remembrance of His word, just as it tells us to do in Isaiah 43:26. "Put me in remembrance, remind me of your merits, let us plead and argue together, set forth your case, that you may be justified, proved right." We ask Him for what we need, according to His word, in the name of our Lord Jesus. You know, we remind Him that in Philippians 4:19, it states that, "And my God shall liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And that in Isaiah 55:11, we are assured that it, the word, shall not return to Him void without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which He pleases and purposes, and it shall prosper in the thing for which He sent it. Another piece of good news is that we weren't left without His thoughts and His ways, because we have His word, which is His bond. Has prayer become a drudgery? It ought not be, people. It should be exciting. Because in Jeremiah 33:3, it reads, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. But we have to pray. Pray in faith, believing. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. And because of the new covenant and the blood, we are blameless according to Ephesians 1:4. Even as in his love, he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. We also find in verse 5 that we are his very own children. For he foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Christ Jesus in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent. And then we find in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. Then we're told in Hebrews 4:16 how to approach the throne of grace. Let us then fervently and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Well, praise the Lord. That's exciting news, because we have the right to go into the very throne room, to approach that throne of grace, because it's been supplied for us through Jesus and his blood. You ask, but what about warfare? Once again, we've been provided for. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, we're told that for though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are physical, are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood. But they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. And Ephesians 6:12-18 tells us that for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness. Excuse me. Against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly, supernatural sphere. And verse 18 tells us to pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And of course, we know that that same chapter gives us the complete armor of God. Remember, all prayer involves a time of fellowshipping with the Father. And as we read in Ephesians 6, we are instructed to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray at all times. You know, prayer is not only a blessing, but it's also a responsibility. 1 Timothy 2:1 says it like this. First of all, Then I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. Had any failures lately? Was prayer the foundation of your endeavor? You know, prayer must be the foundation of every Christian endeavor. Failure to pray brings failure. Think about it. Look at Colossians 1, 9 through 13. Let's read it from the Message Bible. Okay? It says, be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to His will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making Him proud of you as you work hard in His orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth. I like that. But the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that He has for us. God rescued us from dead end alleys. I like that. And dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of His Son. He loves so much. As you can see, we're not ignorant concerning God's word, because He desires for us to be successful, to be filled with a full, clear, and deep knowledge of His will, which is His word, and to bear fruit in every good work. When we are doing those things, then we produce much fruit. My Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. That's found in John 15 and 8. And it is His desire that we know how to pray. The last part of our Proverbs 15 and 8 says that the prayer of the upright is His delight. You know, folks, we haven't been left helpless. We have His word, which is His bond. But He has also given us the Holy Spirit. Let's read Romans 8 and 26. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplications and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterances. Yes, our Father God has provided us with every avenue to ensure our complete and total victory in this life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says as much as, excuse me, in 1 John 5, 3 through 5. For the true love of God is this, that we do His commandments, keep His ordinances, and are mindful of His precepts and teachings. And these orders of His are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact? I like that. We adhere to it, We trust in it, and we rely on that fact. Okay, so let's dig a little deeper. According to James 4, verses 2 and 3, we do not have because we do not ask. Or we ask and we receive not because we pray amiss. I've always said we pray amiss. So how are we to correct these things? In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it tells us to study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourselves to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. The good news is that praying the word is not taking it out of context. Let me say it again. The good news is that praying the word is not taking it out of context. The word in us is the key to answered prayer or to prayers that will bring results. Because in Ephesians 3 and 20 we read, "Now to him who, by inconsequences of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far above and over all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." Okay, now follow me here. The power lies with God's word. It is anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God does not lead us apart from the word. Now notice what I said. The Spirit of God's not going to lead you contrary to his word. For the word is the Spirit of God. We apply the word, not taking from nor adding to the circumstances and situation facing each of us. And then we begin to watch God move on our behalf. Let me mention another important truth here. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. To operate properly, each of these three parts must be fed properly. For example, the soul, which is where the intellect lies, feeds on intellectual food to produce intellectual strength. And then the body is strengthened by a proper diet and exercise. The spirit, which is the heart or the inward man, the real you, the part that has been reborn in Christ, it must feed on spiritual food in order to produce faith. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 tells us we feed on the word of God, it produces and develops faith. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. You know, when I said we are a spirit and we have a soul, and we live in a body, we're to understand that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And this is according to Romans 12 and 1. And in doing so, we will not allow the body to dominate us, but we will bring it into subjection to the spirit man, as we're told to do in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. Paul wrote, "But like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, and rejected as a counterfeit." We're told in Proverbs 4:20-22, "My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh." So I want to challenge you this next week to purpose to hear, accept and welcome the word, believe the word, speak the word, and act on the word. It is a creative force. Well, we'll pick up there next week. And as we get ready to say goodbye this week, I want to remind you to be in prayer for us, because we have leased a building out at 717 Baker Boulevard, Suite B in Richland Hills. And we're just waiting for the chairs, a sound system, and pulpit to come in so that we can have our first prayer gathering in May. And if you desire to help or to contact us, the announcer, our son, will tell you how you can get in touch with us. And just remember, until next week, God bless.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. But before we do, let me invite those of you who have not received Jesus as your personal Savior to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Acts 2:21, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I am calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and be Lord over my life, according to Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now declare, I am now reborn. I am a Christian, a child of Almighty God. I am saved. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries, again, all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6:24-26.
Well, there are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burdens, and he gave me peace within. Say, don't ever make me doubt it, it's real, I'm gonna shout it, for I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.